Holy dooly, what a big week of Parliament we've had. Malcolm Farr is the political editor for news.com.au. Holy dooly, how are you?
Hello, Patricia.
Now, you'd be forgiven for forgetting about the National Energy Guarantee in light of the very, you know, justified outrage over Fraser Anning's speech in the Senate. We'll get to that in a second. But first, Malcolm Farr, the NEG, made it through the coalition party room on Tuesday. But even tonight, there are, you know, reporting that the government's trying to think of offering something else or new to try and get those backbenchers who might cross the floor over the line. What's happening?
Well, it makes you wonder what exactly was approved by the party room on Tuesday, because there seemed to be all sorts of add-ons and amendments in play, as you say. There are frequent references back to the ACCC report and I forget what it is, was it Section 30 or 40? I forget which one, but the one that that Scott Morrison was parading around today, which essentially would help not fix a price, but put a default price on electricity, depending on the generator and the state. So clearly, the government is trying to find some mechanism to assure or reassure MPs and the states and territories that it is aiming at lowering electricity prices. But it's also got another running battle internally over emission figures.
And of course, Labor meets next week to see whether they will support the legislation that has to go through the federal parliament. Are they going to just keep sort of, you know, waiting as the government fights it out?
I don't think they'll particularly want to assist Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull, but it's interesting that that Mark Butler, the shadow energy minister, has referred to a substantial Senate inquiry into the NEG, presumably all facets of the NEG. Now, for there to be a Senate inquiry, the legislation has to get to the Senate, and to get to the Senate, it has to be passed by the House of Representatives. So maybe the Labor Party is considering voting for the NEG-related legislation in the reps, on the understanding that there'd be a big boofy inquiry in the upper chamber, but also to enjoy the embarrassment of the government and of Prime Minister Turnbull in particular, should a bunch of Liberals and Nationals cross the floor to sit with Adam Band.
Mm. All right, let's move to the fallout from the Fraser Anning speech. I had Josh Frydenberg and Ed Husic on together before. Of course, they've spoken pretty strongly against it. Very big story, but you know, what happens with Bob Catter? Because he's been standing pretty firmly in, backing Anning. Is this kind of a sustainable position? Is there going to be pressure on the Catter party now too? Josh Frydenberg mentioned, for instance, union donations to the Catter party. Are these the sorts of issues that are going to start coming up now?
Oh, well and truly. Bob Catter has made very clear where he stands on this issue through ventriloquist dummy Fraser Anning. Now, you've got to step back a bit and look at what's happening in Queensland in particular, but also elsewhere. There's a sizable constituency that's cranky with the major parties, voters who don't want to vote for those major parties, as we saw something like 16%, wasn't it, in Longman. And they're looking for somewhere to place their vote. And it's a crowded field. The competition is quite fierce. You've got One Nation, of course, but you've also got Corey Bernardi's Australian Conservatives, you've got the Liberal Democrats, and you've got Catter Australia. So what are you going to do in Queensland if you're a relatively unknown accidental senator? And as Anthony Green pointed out today, in 2016 Senate election in Queensland, there were 122 candidates. Fraser Anning's personal vote put him at 121 on that list. So, he wouldn't have got here without the disqualification of Malcolm Roberts, One Nation. But you've got to get your profile up if you're going to do anything at the election coming up early next year. And the cynics, unlike you and I, Patricia, but cynics would perhaps suggest this is what Fraser Anning and Bob Catter have been doing with this, and that would, of course, suggest that the reference to Final Solution wasn't an accident, wasn't a product of Fraser Anning's ignorance. It was quite deliberate.
And just finally, before I let you head off, Malcolm, Cabinet's sitting tonight. It's a bit unusual, isn't it?
Not really. I mean, it's a sitting week, so they can't have it during the day. The last day of the week, it seemed pretty opportune, I would imagine. Also, there's a fair bit to discuss around here, and the neg would be right at the top of the list, but also the handling of the company tax cuts, which we might see rolled out with more determination next week.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for your time, Malcolm.
Pleasure, ma'am.
Malcolm Farr there, political editor at news.com.au. This is RN Drive. 0418226576 is the text line. You can also write to us on Twitter if you use Twitter. You don't have to, but if you do, why not? Use the hashtag RN Drive. And of course, we also upload throughout the day on Facebook to let you know what we're doing.